Good evening, everybody. Welcome to fall and the start of the NHL. Oh, crap. I did it again, guys. Hello, everybody. This is Chris Waffle, your host of the Hockey Writers Live on a Sunday night. God, guys, it feels like hockey weather. Still, I'm trying to hold out hope for an NHL season. With me, as always, of course, my Boston representative, my brother-in-arms, and a man who shares as many good beers as I do, Mr. Timothy Rosenthal. Good evening.
Michaela Maroney, the real unimpressed with the Peyton Manning. That's how I'm debuting the show tonight.
Wow. If Bettman, well, if Bettman could do a Manning face, I really, that would really make my day.
Might make the Iron Sheik's day, too.
It is possible. And with me, as always, on my right, coming from a little bit farther down the New Jersey Garden State Parkway, somewhere near the land where Roy Rogers still exists.
But yes.
If you're going to sweet talk me into doing it, you could probably bring me Roy Rogers, and I will do any segment on the show you want to. It's inexpensive. Of course, with me, as always, is Mr. Joshua Smith of the Hockey Writers. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, Chris. And it's sad. I guess it's the only Roy Rogers left in existence. But somebody's got to love it. Somebody's got to go there.
Only full-serving existing Roy Rogers in the United States. Officially.
That's something
to
be proud of.
There's a smaller one in New York City, which, of course, I go to every time I go to New York City. There's a few of those rest stop ones, which are awful, that are run by – I don't even know what they're run by, but I think the rats run them. So, no, I got a better one. No, Henrik Lundqvist runs them because everything goes deep in the crease and never comes out. Now, I have this to lead off tonight, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This may be, quite possibly, the worst thing a Rangers fan could ever hear. I even am repulsed by this, and I'm a Devils fan. Really. I'm actually repulsed by something a Devils fan did. Now, of course, for me, it's in a good way. I'm not even sorry to play this. Really not at this point. As everybody knows, NHL games canceled till October 24th. Probably sometime in the next week or so, they'll be on the second two-week cancellation plan. So you won't see hockey games until now. The next cancellation will mean until November 8th. Before I forget, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to my Canadian friends. I can still blame you for no hockey, somewhat. Yes, the OHL is – by the way, I am leading in my OHL pool for the fantasy league that Peter Harling and company are running over at fantasyhockeycoach.com. Yeah, the NHL guy knows something about prospects. Who knew? Considering we only have, like, Russ Cohen and several of the best serious XM prospect guys at our back, in our back pocket, Timmy. It's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I present, before we get into this roundtable discussion. Yes.
I'm scared.
This is bad. Thankfully, Josh, for you, this is only about 24 seconds of your life that you'll never get back. And here it goes. I apologize to anyone that listens to the whole thing of this. I really do.
Who won it? Frost lost there. Scramble for it there. They poke away at it. Still it's loose. Poked out by Komolka. They score! It's over.
Somewhere Doc Emmerich is going to sue us for every last penny we don't have.
You aren't now, kidding how painful that was.
I warned people when we came up with this, and I do want to thank some of my good friends I thank Mary, John, and all the guys that were so nice enough to send that to me, thanks to that wonderful thing called YouTube to MP3 Converter. Good stuff.
Yeah, that is pretty convenient, and certainly
when it works,
for our lives. So.
Right. When it works. Now, I promised a fourth person on board with us, and if I did really good math, I actually know who this is and did not screw it up. So if I'm right, this should be Ross Benander from the Hockey Writers. Good evening, Ross.
What's happening?
Look at this. It works. I mean, man, everything goes right for once. Wait a minute. It's raining and it's 47 degrees outside.
I believe that after hearing that Henrique goal, I'm not feeling a whole lot of things going right in my head right now, especially with that being the last Rangers moment of the year. I mean, we need to get back to playing hockey so I can wash that out.
I said this to people. I heard Mateau for 18 years in about 364 different ways. There is a Stefan Mateau remix. As a matter of fact, there are several that I've had to hear through the years.
Look, and now you guys get to have a Stefan Mateau playing for the Devils.
Yes, this is a beautiful thing. I'm just waiting for the Rangers to draft for her in Newark next year. I really am. Son of a bitch. I'm waiting for it to happen. I fully expect it to. All right, guys, there's a lot to get to tonight. We're going to save the fantasy KHL news for later. I still can't believe I'm doing this, or I'm crazy enough to do this. Or the fact that literally within putting this up on Twitter, I had about 20 people asking me if they could join the league. I'll take it.
The AHL league?
No, this is even better, Ross. This is the fantasy KHL.
Oh, the KHL league. AHL league?
Oh, yeah.
No?
I'm in that one starting on Monday. We're going to have updates every Sunday night on the Hockey Writers. So see how bad I do. Basically, I will be the Hockey Writers Combine best friend for the next 5 months and change. Anybody from PHW Combine that can come on the show and give me advice to help me at least finish respectably in this league, I will literally, I don't know, I'll bribe them. I'll take them out to lunch. Oh, wait, I did that already. Wilkes-Barre Penguins writer, I already took out the lunch, so damn.
Hey, Chris is digging so far down in fantasy leagues at this point. He's got the South Mountain Arena pickup league, the beer league he's doing a draft for next week.
I jokingly said to somebody, if I could do it, I would do a Federal Hockey League fantasy league at this point. Just to see if it could be done. More or less.
We might be able to get enough people to actually put together a Federal Hockey League team if we can get enough guys and actually field a squad.
Yeah, that was the bad part when the Outlaws moved, because the Outlaws were a good team, and they were very good public relations-wise. It was sad to see them move this year. Why would you move to Adirondack? But, man, that's just brutal. But, all right, the obvious things that are going on in the NHL, nothing. That's right. There's nothing going on. However, I don't know if any of you saw this last night. By the way, folks, the phone number to call in is 1-347-826-7358. Bob McKenzie going nuts on Twitter.
I caught that, yeah. I caught it this morning.
Mm-hmm. I still can't believe this. Now, very conveniently, when I went back and looked at it this morning, I could only get it through retweets. But the basic gist of what Bob was trying to say was, if you really think that there's going to be an NHL season this year, don't bother. I mean, obviously, he said it a little bit more dramatically than that.
He really let the fans know where they stood, too. Not in a, you know, an attack sort of way, but didn't he say something to the effect of, sorry, fans, you really have no say in this other than when the game comes back, just don't spend your money on it. I mean, that was really his advice to the fans. That was about it. It's pretty grim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not something you expect to see from him. I don't know why people would use. Sorry, go ahead.
I was a little surprised by how direct he was in the, even the comments that, hey, there's a chance at December, but I'm not counting on it, and I'm not used to that level of doom and gloom and really just coming out and criticizing the way he did. It really caught me off guard a little bit. I was expecting a little more measured response, from like the TSN guys or from somebody like Bob McKenzie. So it was surprising to see him put it out there the way he did.
Well, I got to say this. I don't know how recent this trend is to use Twitter to actually write something much longer than Twitter. You know, I personally don't like it, like the Chris Barch thing. You know, I mean, maybe there's no other forum for it, but I don't know. Stretching out an essay across, 30 tweets? I don't buy it.
He probably could have just written a whole column on how really he's dissatisfied with the negotiations.
I agree.
He can't do that, though, for the most obvious reason out of all. TSM won't let him. So he's going to take the Twitter. I think he tried to do the Twit Longer app that a lot of phones have. And even then, it's still strung out into about 8 or 9 really long parts.
So he can do that, but he couldn't say approach, I don't know, you know, a major blog and say, let me guest blog, I got something to say.
I would have expected.
Everybody
would
take
it. Let it rip.
Yeah.
You don't expect somebody like Bob McKenzie to do that. And I'll be honest, and I took this position with it, I absolutely 110% applaud him for it. Maybe not the way he delivered it, but the fact that somebody finally said this.
Yeah, somebody with his stature, I agree.
You have to respect that. I talked today, and I wish I could have gotten him on the show, but it was a bit too last minute, and he was enjoying the fact that the Detroit Lions could not blow another game this week. Kevin Allen, USA Today. Said to me this, Chris, it looks really bad. There's about a 1 in 5 chance that this season happens. So it's, though he didn't necessarily agree with how Bob McKenzie said it, he basically agreed with the methodology and the reality of what he presented. And he said it to me. He's like, by the way, he's like, if you want a plug for your fantasy league, let me know. And I'm like, okay. I was like, the problem is they're going to fill up too fast because they're being done in really small amounts just to test them out. Because fan tracks and all those wonderful fantasy sites aren't going to do it. So, we tried to pitch it to them too. I mean, we even tried hockey. Hockey Pool was willing to do the AHL one, but they wanted us to pay like $20 a team.
Oh, that's not too bad. Unless
that's
you have a lot of
too bad
tonight,
normally, but when you're just doing a few categories on each side, you're not really in the mood to pop $20 for something that they're just going to kind of haphazardly do anyway.
Well, you know, I play in this pickup league every Thursday night. You know, and I was driving home the other night, and it occurred to me that if another season has to be lost, to me it's kind of okay, because obviously there are a lot of things wrong with the league and with the Players Association, and I just to myself I thought, you know, maybe we were just all fans at the wrong time, you know, and they say they're going to lose fans, but they're not going to lose the 5, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds that are around now that, you know, that are going to grow up and you grow into a league that has labor. They're not going to care. You know, they're new fans are being born all the time. You know, and if this is a price that right now, what baseball just signed, the latest CBA was in 2011. You didn't even hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, and yet it guarantees that baseball will have a labor peace for at least 21 years total, going back and forward. And I got to say, man, I saw Miguel Cabrera. On TV the other day, he's talking about his Triple Crown. He had a big smile. I thought, man, I haven't seen a hockey player smile since the Stanley Cup, you know, and look happy, because everybody now look happy. It's almost like they have a responsibility to look gloomy, you know, to look serious, to look morose, kind of. And it's a drag. It's a real drag. And I guess my feeling is that if it's just a bad time to be a hockey fan, if it takes another year, it takes another year. And maybe that's just me being defensive, you know. Putting up barriers and, this sucks so bad, you know, but That's my feeling now. You know, with the AHL, yeah, I am a big AHL fan, and I think the AHL is going to be, at first I was really upset about, you know, all these players coming down and guys knocking guys out of jobs and whatnot, but after going to a couple of preseason games this week, I'm ready to go, man. This is going to be a fun season. You know, nobody can be sent up, you know. I mean, that's the worst part of being an AHL fan, is watching the good guys get called up. It can't happen this year, at least until NHL's back. So it should be a lot of fun. That's just one perspective, though. Just one.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you bring it up. Obviously, the season starts on Friday. My super fantasy stud, defender Eric Jelinek, playing for the Albany Devils, scheduled to have a breakout year because Adam Henrique will finally be able to find somebody that from the blue line that can shoot the puck above 5 miles per hour.
Henrique is playing for Albany?
Yes, he is.
He is, okay. Skinner's What's that?
He didn't play much in the preseason at all. He played really only a little bit of one game.
Uh-huh. I probably wasn't worried about his roster spot, I suppose.
Yeah, it's I'll be fine.
but I did hear that Jeff Skinner
had to go to
camp
last year. I scored a few series clinching goals that people remember.
Right.
Man, not to worry about.
I don't remember anything about that.
I wouldn't expect you to, Josh. I literally just wiped Josh's memory bank for the next 18 years right out.
It's gone.
But obviously, season opens. You never quite know in the AHL who the favorites are going to be. Norfolk Admirals or the defending champions. I think they won something insane, like 49 of their last 52 games in the regular season.
Yeah, it was something close to that. It wasn't quite that, but they did set the record. Yeah, they were just outrageous. I mean, that was the best hockey story at the time, and nobody was covering it. No one cared. I mean, they're rattling off, like, you know, 25, 28 straight wins, regular season wins. I mean, they were, I don't know, maybe middle of the pack with halfway through the season, and they just tore it up. I mean, they just win. And, I mean, honestly, they had not lost in 25, 28, 30 games or so. I mean, and they were clear, far and away, the number one seed in the going into the playoffs. And it just, nobody was covering it. It was an amazing story, you know? Guys like Corey Conacher. I'd never heard of Corey Conacher before. Yeah.
I kind of did, unfortunately. being immersed so much into prospects, because I had this distinct feeling that we were not going to have the start of the year on time this season. Mm-hmm. I started in about February looking into some of the prospects more deeply and realized it's got some pretty good NHL talent down here.
Well, Corey Conacher, he was a rookie this past year. I don't know where he came from. To you?
Basically, in a sense, he came out of nowhere. The reality is, obviously, he was a C prospect, mind you.
Huh.
I mean, that tells you right there just how far he came. It's pretty amazing. I mean, he's going to be 23
okay.
in December.
Huh.
But he's one of those guys that he never quite fit. But he had a work ethic that was second to none.
Yeah, he's not very big, right?
No, he's 5'8", generously listed at 178. Some people I've talked to say he's around 170, maybe 175. Little slight.
Has he been drafted? I mean, is he part of the Tampa Bay Lightning or what?
Yes.
He is, okay. They switched affiliations, though, I think, right? So what is he with the Crunch now or something?
Yeah, they did the Admirals and the Crunch swapped affiliation roster. I'm trying to remember the specifics of how that worked. I just remember it being a little bit odd.
Crunch are kind of a weird AHL team. I mean, they actually have a cool thing where every year the owner actually talks to his core group of like season ticket holders, fans. He answers their questions. I mean, as opposed to other owners, particularly in the AHL, he's very
for us. For the hockey
okay.
writers.
All right. I thought one of you guys did. No?
I do it too for kind of time. I've been known to.
Okay.
They don't like me much because I know that our our radio lady is a Rangers fan.
Uh-huh.
I want this to happen, Josh. I will trade you Don LaGreca for Sherry Ross.
No way.
I want LaGreca back on this side.
You guys can take Deb Placey while you're at it, too, if I have to deal with some of the TV commentary there.
Just for, people don't realize, in at least in the New York tri-state area, since Doc Emrick and John Davidson left, how bad it really is.
Really?
It's really sad.
You know, I'll say it's we've got some constants. There's some talent there. There's a huge talent pool in the market, but I think they can't quite fill that gap with the right mix of people. And you get some of the smaller markets where you get, you know, a colorful play-by-play guy or somebody who gets a gimmick or catchphrases, and they have a little bit more fun. In the tri-state area or in New York, New Jersey, even a little bit in Philly, they try to keep that straight-laced professionalism. You know, Sam Rosen in calling the Rangers games is by the book. You don't have that fun that they used to have, and they've never been able to find that again. So it's all just serious by the book calling, and nobody who really knows how to either make the game fun or bring more to it. They do a good job. I mean, they're professionals. They call the game perfectly, but I think you lose a little bit of the excitement and the fun that you get with even some of the minor league guys who are just a blast to listen to on the radio because they're a little more involved and able to cut loose a little bit more.
Right. We're fortunate out here that we get Darryl Ray.
See, you know, and for me, for a while, we had John Walton and Hershey before he moved to Washington.
I really like that guy. I like his as a play-by-play guy. If he's the guy I'm thinking of, yeah, he did Hershey for a while, and he just left. Yeah, I thought he was great. I don't know if he's as exciting with the Capitalists as he was for Hershey, but I thought he's fantastic. Yeah, play-by-play.
Pretty much the same. And you know, we were. He was nice enough to come on with us just as he got the Washington job. And the first thing he said to us, he's like, "Don't worry about it. I'm just the same way." And he has been. They've allowed him that kind of freewheeling. Let's face it, Ted Leonsis is their owner. He's going to kind of be a little more lenient as far as.
Right.
And blocker friendly at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I wish my team was like that. Same. Now, look, it's a lot to digest. It's a lot to talk about as we do this tonight and kind of just relax back and let the hockey go. After all, next weekend we'll have AHL hockey games to talk about along with everything else, which will be nice. We may get somewhat of an idea of how the season's going to go there, or at least have a few surprises. It just seems that right now there's that feeling of I have never been more pumped for an AHL season than I can remember. Even 2004, 2005 was kind of somber and surreal. You just knew that, yeah, some of the AHL, they were going to come and they were going to – and it was just oversaturated. This year it seems like there's kind of a right mix.
Well, I haven't watched.
Chris,
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ross.
I can say, having watched a little bit of the Texas Stars tryouts and then see their two preseason games here at home, the drag, this is where you really see. I mean, I recognize some of the guys that are coming out that were called for tryouts, you know, that don't have contracts and everything, and they really absolutely deserve a spot on the roster, you know, and you know that some of these guys are going to be roster casualties. This just isn't room for them, you know? And they're going to fall back to Idaho or Allen or something like that. It's just, it's really unfortunate, I mean, because these guys deserve they deserve their spot. I mean, having watched Texas play San Antonio Friday night, there was, San Antonio really didn't have much of a standout, but they had Alex Petrovic playing, but wasn't much of a factor and everything. But, you know, people like Scott Glennie on the Stars, who, I don't know if you remember Scott Glennie. Anybody?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people in Dallas think he's a bust. you know, at eight or nine pick or something. I mean, he had a great year last year in Texas because he was put on he was taken off center and he was put on the wing, and he was put with two veteran AHL guys, and he developed a great two-way game. But man, he just showed up to camp, but he just didn't care, and he didn't play that. I didn't think he played that well Friday night. And I mean, part of me is saying, gosh, if it were me, I wouldn't even put him on the team, you know, because there are much more deserving guys that are on tryouts. So that's kind of a drag, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he had Nazem Kadri show up in Toronto looking like he was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I saw that.
Even if he was really out of shape, that's just a great way to start off your non-season by just publicly bashing the guy and taking a big chunk out of his possible trade value if you really do want to move on. Just this brilliant move by the Leafs don't even have hockey and they're playing this poorly already.
Hey, this is a naive question, but obviously they can't trade. Maybe you can trade AHL guys on AHL contracts during the lockout, but you certainly can't trade NHL guys on NHL contracts, can you?
The answer is AHL contracts. You sure as heck can.
NHL ones, I don't believe you can, even if it was just because of the fact that management can't have any communication with the players
right.
or the player agents.
Yep.
They can't even enter into that.
Right, okay.
I
didn't think so.
With him, at least, I mean, he's probably more hated in Toronto than Kyle Wellwood ever was.
you had to pick another out-of-shape guy, didn't you?
But I mean, it kind of goes together. I mean, Wellwood had all this talent coming up, or relatively speaking, it just did not fit in Toronto. And now he's having a pretty decent career, not surprisingly enough, in another Canadian city. It's strange. This guy is only 22. Yeah. By the way, Nazem Kadri turned 22 yesterday. So figure.
Yeah, him and Glennie, I think, went in the same year, right? 2009 mm-hmm. or 2010? Just back-to-back almost, maybe. Picks 8 and 9 or
almost.
7 and 8 or something.
Yeah, there was quite a talk that Kadri could go in the top 5 even, but he didn't. You know, the big problem with Kadri is this. You know, he split so much of his time the last two seasons between the AHL and the NHL. It's tough. I mean, he didn't play that badly in the NHL. It just wasn't what they were expecting. And I think that's frustrated people.
He's not tearing up the AHL either, though, necessarily. I mean, if I recall right, I've seen him play
close
a few times.
Close to a point a game. I mean, it's
decent. Right?
Okay. It's nothing great. I mean, all right, let's put it this way. Ross, if you put him out to, say, an 82-game projection, he'd be about, you know, probably about a 70 to 75 point guy, which is pretty good.
Yeah, actually, that is pretty good. Yeah, last year would have been pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, NHL wise, though, he's still at best right now at this stage of his career. He's just kind of a third or fourth line player at this juncture. He reminds me kind of, I can't believe I'm saying this, Ramzi Abid.
Who?
Ah, yes. This is another Muslim who actually played in the NHL for a decent cup of coffee with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And he played for Wilkes Barre then? Or no? Or he just played for the Penguins briefly?
For a little while he did. He played for a lot of teams, but... Prolific type of guy. Kind of the Kadri mold. Well, now that Kadri's gained a few pounds, but just never. He just same kind of player, in the sense that, you know, has this talent, and never translated at all. Just did not translate into the NHL. He had one pretty good kind of stint with Phoenix in 2002-2003, and then he got traded. So, I mean,
I'm surprised that there's even the Marlies existing in Toronto, all things considered. I mean, they can't possibly draw that many, do they? I mean, does anybody know exactly how popular? I mean, I'm kind of curious just how popular they are or aren't.
Oddly enough, it's a weird sort of fan base.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't.
Everybody can't get tickets to the Maple Leafs, go to the Marlies, or no? It's not something like that.
I'm going to come up with something close here. Thanks to the guys from HockeyDataBase.com for this. They did a histogram on the yearly attendance for the Toronto Marlies. Now, if it will work, of course, is a different story entirely because you know, it's got to think about it. But here you go. Here's the numbers post-lockout. Wow, I can't believe that they have this. But it kind of plays out, Ross, to a point of what you said. They draw right around, I would say, 4,500 fans a year.
Okay. I mean, that's not horrible. Yeah.
It's not horrible. It's decent for them.
Right.
Obviously, last year was different because they went on that run, and then Ben Scrivens gave up the goal from hell, but still I'm trying to figure out what graph and all it bounced off. Last year, they drew just about 5,500.
Okay.
But wow. But,
considering how, considering what kind of scrutiny the Maple Leafs are under and how they never seem to make the playoffs, I don't know. I would think maybe some frustrated fans might turn to the Marlies. I don't know. You know,
they're
I mean, last year they did
bounce.
Have a good roster. What's that?
They've got a nice roster. I think that right now, at least, they're my early favorites to take home the Calder Cup. At least right now.
Hmm.
I mean, that could change. I mean, lots of things can go wrong. It inevitably does in Toronto.
Do they have anybody coming down from Toronto? Anybody on entry-level contract come down that you're aware of?
Not really. They don't. I got to be honest with you, Ross. They don't really need to. They have the team there. Obviously, Scrivens is going to be playing for them.
Right.
Scrivens was supposed to be the backup for Reimer with Jonas Gustafsson going off to stud, it seems.
I thought
you
know, obviously Runas
Gustafsson
was their guy.
Signed in Detroit for 2 years.
Who did? Gustafsson.
Yeah. I think Gustafsson will be much better off. Yes, Josh.
Just to throw some perspective around those attendance numbers, Toronto did finish last season about 14th, right around the same average attendance as Texas, as far as AHL teams go. So they are right in the middle.
I thought we were like 5,500 last year. No?
Yep. Yeah,
they were
right around.
We're middle of the pack.
54.80 for Toronto and 54.70 for Texas.
Oh, okay, all right. So, Hershey always blows everybody out, but you know, I mean, what else can you do in Hershey? You know,
yeah,
of course, I've never been there, but
not a whole hell of a lot.
And they do play in the
Hershey Park. There's Chocolate Town. Wait, this is going.
Yeah,
really
you can get on a caffeine high, I guess.
You go to Hershey Park, you enjoy some chocolate, maybe you check out a concert, and you go to a game. I mean, outside of that, you've got Amish country for miles around out there.
Is that right?
Is that the
geography? Huh.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Basically, if you go out there, and the best way to describe this, I have a friend of mine that lives out in Middletown, Pennsylvania, which is right about 15, 20 minutes from Hershey. And the first thing she said to me, when you come out here, it's going to look pretty nice when you get into where I live, because it's kind of small, little quaint downtown area, but it's all spread. It's spread out like a pancake. She wasn't kidding. I did one of those dumb things where it's like, oh, rent a mountain bike for $10 for a weekend, and it sounded great on the surface, believe me. So I'm in my hotel for the first night because I just was too tired to even I didn't stay with her. The first night because I was too wiped out. I got in too late. And the next day I was like, okay, I'll meet you for, dinner and then we'll hang out for a few days and then I'll go home. I'm riding through these streets, which are basically, wide roads of nothing but hilly terrain. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to die.
Is that bad?
Yeah. I mean, I went up this one hill that I guess I really wasn't supposed to. I said, there's really nothing to do out here. There's a little dive bar near the hotel. There's nice areas. Don't get me wrong. As a matter of fact, Dustin Lee lives out in Lancaster. He writes for the Flyers. And he's done a lot of, you know, he does works for the paper out there in Lancaster. And like he said, other than high school football, a little minor league hockey.
That's it.
And obviously, you know, if you're lucky enough to cover the Flyers 2 hours away, that's it. There's not much else.
You know, like teams like, well, what about a team like Hamilton? I mean, I don't exactly know where Hamilton is. I won't lie to you. You know, I don't. I mean, I know it's somewhere in Canada, probably eastern Canada. You know, Hamilton, Ontario, is it? Is it Hamilton,
they're,
Quebec?
They're a little luckier. Hamilton,
I mean,
Ontario,
they only draw. They probably draw some of the worst. I mean, the 2,000-3,000 a game, maybe.
Hamilton's actually not too far down. They're around 4,800. The worst in the league. The worst in the league is Albany.
Thank you. All right.
Is that right? It's
ever,
Albany, huh?
You have ever seen where the arena is, though, where Albany plays? You'll know why they're last in the league in attendance.
Huh.
There are dumps, and then there's Albany.
We're talking about the Albany Devils, right? I mean, the River Rats are long gone. Okay. But why is it that there was a post the other day about celebrating 20 years of AHL hockey in Albany? Was that just any franchise?
They must have just taken it all and piled it together, right? They just threw it all in.
Okay. We actually have the guy from I think he used to call Albany games here calling for us now. Owen Newkirk, he's our new play-by-play guy. I think he came from Adirondack as well.
Yeah, Owen's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great. It seems like a good replacement for who we had before. I won't say, but
you know, when the pitcher was asked for me, I was like, Owen. Oh my God, I know him. you know, see people stuff a lot. That's what happens a lot in this business. There's a couple guys that were at the Devils fan club meeting a couple weeks ago, and one of the guys wrote a book, and I was like, Tim, and I'm like, he's like, yeah. And I was like, I haven't seen you in like since the first lockout. Well, the first one that can't see them. And it's like, wow, you haven't aged a bit. He's like, shut up. You know, damn grandkids are driving me nuts, and it's like, you don't look like you've aged any. Matter of fact, it looks like you lost a ton of weight. I'm like, I'm not, you know, okay. But that's the type of thing that happens. And you think, you look, especially through attendance figures, records, et cetera, it's like, wait a minute, they're that bad?
Yeah,
they are. Or they're that good?
I know that Houston draws really well, whether they're playing well or not. I mean, they draw 7,000-8,000 maybe on average, I think.
You're a good call. They're 7,300 for last year.
Okay, yeah, they do draw well. I mean, they have a pretty good fan base down there. I mean, I think it's partly from tradition, you know, and partly because they generally field a pretty good team. I don't think San Antonio does very well in terms of attendance.
They're not far behind. They're two spots down. They're still in the 7,000 range. So
are you kidding me? Damn, really?
From an expansion perspective, it's great to see some Texas teams that high in AHL attendance.
Yeah, the competition down here between the three Texan teams is I mean, we see each other 12 times a year, you know, and so it you know, I just can't wait for one of these Texas teams to meet in the playoffs. It hasn't happened yet, you know, and because I just think it's going to be. You know, I think there'll be fights in the stands. You know, it's how Texans are, and you know, and it gets so crazy down in NHL games. It's a lot of fun, and so I'm a little surprised to hear San Antonio draws that much because they play in the worst rink for hockey. I mean, they play in the wherever the Spurs play, right?
Oh, it's brutal.
It's a gigantic cavernous place. I mean, honestly, every sound gets lost, like in the right up in the middle there, like it's a. It just gets lost in this fog in the middle. You can't hear. It's a terrible place for hockey, you know. Obviously not built for hockey, but nonetheless it's horrible anyway. Same with the Cox Convention Center where Oklahoma City plays. Some of the bad place. Any place with an extra bowl that they have to shut down, you know is going to suck, you know. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to get past. Even looking at it, you know, I've been in the arenas where you've got part of it. closed off or curtained off, and you just feel like, man, this doesn't feel right. It's not the right size for this event, and we're just in a bat cave here, and we're just taking up the lower spots. And
I think the Wolves
and Oklahoma City is bottom five in attendance, though. So hopefully they'll, if anything's going to help move them up, it's going to be the players that they have suiting up there this year until the lockout's over, at least.
Yeah, maybe. I know one guy who's not very confident that that's going to happen. Even, I mean, they had a great run last year. You know, I mean, I think they made it to the. I think Toronto knocked them out. I think in the conference finals, maybe they got pretty close. And still, they were drawing. I mean, truly, they were drawing maybe 2,000 to the playoff games, to big playoff games. And you know, they compete with right across the street. They compete with whatever basketball team is there. I can't think of the name of them, but. Thunder or something.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, so I mean, they're the kind of team that if they're going to stay, they need like a purpose-built arena, you know, that's something a little smaller. And I mean, that just I'm not saying they need an arena built specifically for AHL hockey. I don't think that would go over, but you know, like something that's more like 5,000 to 6,000, maybe 7,000 people, you know, at all concerts, whatever, you know. But I mean, it's what we have here, and it's great here. I mean, it's just not a bad seat. Here in Austin, it's when the place is loud, it is loud, you know, and it never seems like it's not fairly full, you know. But yeah, roping off and like putting curtains up—that's a drag. Must be depressing. Must be depressing to play in front of that. I would think it would be. You know, I mean, whenever I watch like highlights in the East Coast games in AHL, it's like, man, is there anybody sitting in these seats? You look at the attendance, like 1,500. Really? Because I can only see like 10 people in these highlights. You know. I mean,
that's what you have to
games.
You have to look at it and go, man, this is paid attendance with season ticket holders who are dropping $10 a game, and if they show up or not, they're in the attendance figures.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and even big games, even like a game 7 last year, or Binghamton's 2 years ago. I mean, there was just nobody there. It was like, man, how do you not get people to come out for a game 7 in a hockey rich area? You know, a relatively hockey rich area.
Unfortunately. I want the NHL back, but as far as the AHL is concerned, this is really their opportunity to take advantage of the hockey that's out there, fill their arenas, fill that hockey void, and it really will be interesting to see, and it's something we should be watching, is what the attendance figures look like for the AHL. You know, it might be flat to start the season, but as hockey goes on, do the attendance figures spike from people who are really missing the NHL, or is it just there's no NHL? I don't care. I'll just wait until they come back. So it's really going to be interesting to see, especially for some of those bottom teams. When you look at like Springfield, Oklahoma City, Binghamton, Abbotsford, and Albany, they have nowhere to go but up. And if they can't go up with no NHL hockey, what happens?
Right. You know, the AHL Live does the streaming for the games, and and it's not a particularly expensive package if you just say get your own team, you know, away games or something, but as of last year, they were still using buffering. So, you know, the more people pile into the room, the worse it gets, right? And and I know that I've tried to contact them, and another person did too, saying, have you guys boosted your tech at all? You know, I mean, because they're the same people that do NHL Game Center. They're the same people that do the everything for the CHL. And the CHL games look amazing compared to AHL. I mean, compared to the AHL, if you haven't seen an AHL game streamed over AHL Live, just go watch The Moon Landing, 1969. It's kind of what it looks like, you know? I'm serious. It's horrible. It's like sometimes you can't tell. Even if you got to have it on a big screen, you can't tell where the puck. I mean, it's a drag, you know? And it often goes out and comes back in because they just don't have it. They don't bother to give it the technology. They give it to other leagues, and so I'm wondering if they change that. If they didn't, it's going to be a nightmare, total nightmare, and it won't help their image one bit.
I see bad things happening.
So do I. But I think the hockey will be
good. I hope
good.
I'm wrong. I mean, I know for me personally, I'm not going to sit there and pay $300 for the OHL or the WHL just to watch their games. But that's a little overkill.
Yeah, I agree. Is it that much money, really?
Yeah, you want the whole entire package.
Oh, every game? Uh-huh.
Right, if you wanted to do it like center ice and you wanted to do it that way, it's about almost $300.
Wow.
You can do Arthur Justin, and you can legal stream it, but don't come back to us.
I don't know anything about sites. I swear. There is, however, a streaming site that takes donations, and for about $63 a year, you can stream the same amount of games.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But you can't mention that, right?
I can't mention the name of it. I've been asked by them not to mention the name, just to let them know that they exist. They'll know.
You can email it to me, though, can't you?
I could find it again, yes.
Okay.
I will look for it again. I had found it just searching randomly, and I was like, wait a minute, $63.99? And you donate for 6 months and basically get... Okay.
Wow. There's no media discounts that I'm aware of either.
No, unfortunately. So this is the problem with...
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an NHL fan in a market that, let's face it, is an NHL market, you're, for the lack of a better term, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Being in this area, in New Jersey, at least the part of New Jersey I live in, Princeton is still well over an hour away. Yeah, so there's college hockey at least. I'm not going to watch Rutgers club hockey, I don't think so. You know, obviously the Boston schools are 5 hours away. I suppose I could take the Amtrak if somebody doesn't drive their car up on the train track or nothing breaks down or the lights don't go out.
And literally, we could probably visit all three arenas on the same day if they're staggered enough.
Yeah.
For start time.
Okay, but once you get up into, you know, Timmy's part of the world in Boston, the options for him are endless. I mean, there's college hockey. There's a lot of AHL teams up in his neck of the woods. You know, it all depends on literally where you live, or if you have a strong hockey base. Like, you know, Texas has a lot of developmental leagues.
Right.
And a lot of casinos. And quite a few casinos. Right, Jaromir Jagr? Right.
Speaking of casinos, that's the only hope I've got for hockey is that the AHL is doing 4 games in Atlantic City this year. So
I will be there.
That's something I'm actually looking forward to.
They did that again this year? Are they?
Yeah. I know they had a lot of problems.
All-Star game last year. Oh, they did.
Yep.
I'm not surprised.
You know who I'm surprised that doesn't have an AHL team, but yet they have a good junior hockey presence, and yet a college hockey, too, with Omaha.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know who their affiliate might be from Omaha, maybe.
I mean, the worst San Jose's affiliate is in Worcester, so I guess.
That's true. That's a
It'd
good
be
point.
A little better.
In fact, their new ECHL affiliate is in San Francisco, which is classic. You know, I mean, you make the Bulls great, then you make the Sharks, the Worcester Sharks. You got to fly cross country, and then you got to come all the way back, play for San Jose. I think Dallas is happy to put Texas here, and I don't understand how teams like LA can be, you know, affiliates with a team like, is it Manchester?
Manchester.
I mean, they're across the country. I mean, that's not very easy to call up a guy. You know,
I remember plenty times for Rangers games when so-and-so is driving in from the Connecticut Whale, somebody wasn't able to go, and, you know, they're pulling in with enough time to still make the ice for warm-ups because they're playing that night. And you look at that as being a 45-minute drive into the city or less, depending on where the players are at the time. And you have a team like L.A. that has Manchester, you know, a six-hour flight away from any chance of getting the guy in.
Yeah.
Can you fly the guy with the Pony Express? The answer's no.
Good point. But well, I don't know. I don't think the AHL, if they did move, it would be nice if some of the teams made it a little easier. Some of Abbotsford, I mean, they moved out of our division because, you know, they were going on road trips that were endless, and they probably still are. Yeah, I mean, Abbotsford's, in Alberta. Right.
Yep, and it's essentially as misplaced as the Winnipeg Jets in the Southeast Division. Oh, wait, why did I mention that again? Something about realignment?
Oh. We have what's a little AHL realignment discussion thrown into the mix? Why
well,
not?
We're glad that we have Charlotte in our division this year, which you know, it's different. We saw them last year twice for the first time. Otherwise, you know, we see the same three teams just ad nauseum. You know, so having Charlotte, I don't know what the other alignment is. I just know Abbotsford's out for us. Which is too bad, because I know Sam Barchi's going to be playing for him.
With a few minutes left, we might as well just take a quick look at this one, just for the heck of it, because I'm even curious. I forgot, which is embarrassing to say, but yeah, I did.
You forgot the alignment?
Yeah, I didn't really look at it that much. I just kind of glanced over it, nodded, and agreed. That's the problem. When you don't think you're going to have this, but you have the feeling, you half look at something but don't really completely pay attention to it. I tried.
Abbotsford's now with Rochester, Toronto, Lake Erie, and Hamilton. That must be a little easier. I mean, Midwest division.
At least you're...
Yeah, in the Midwest, they're set. I mean, Chicago, Milwaukee, Grand Rapids, Peoria, and Rockford. That's like old-time hockey. You know, those sound like train rides.
I wish that. That's like going. That's like the old Patrick Division days. Yeah, just take the bus down to here, to there, to there, to there. Done.
I don't know where Bridgeport is or Bridgeport Sound. You know,
Connecticut.
Is it like
Connecticut?
Oh, I think
nowhere, Connecticut.
So
thank you,
Connecticut, man. Springfield, Albany, Bridgeport, Adirondack.
That's not bad either.
No.
No. How about Hershey, Binghamton, Scranton, Syracuse, Norfolk? Maybe Norfolk's a little south.
Yeah, Norfolk's the one that's a little south. The other four teams, it's like, it's kind of the same deal.
Well, then the Atlantic, they must be all packed up there. Portland, Providence, Manchester, St. John's, and Worcester.
Yep.
St. John's is, yeah, okay. Yeah, they look out. If I were playing the AHL, I think I would rather play for an AHL team. Sounds like a lot less traveling. I mean, it's not like even baseball, you know, they never play. You know, between the conferences ever, you know, like it's just too much of a stretch to for us to go out to Hershey or something to play a single game or a weekend or something. I mean, come on, that ain't a big stretch. Of course, they're flying coach. Maybe it is a stretch. I don't know. Maybe it might be. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that. At least Abbotsford now can sort of take a red eye out. It's not quite so bad. At least they're kind of flying on the same plane at least.
Well, I was going to say, I think they actually get a charter, don't they? I mean, they fly pretty well, things considered. Don't they? The Flames,
they do pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, they don't draw well, but
no.
The Flames own them. Calgary owns them, I think. At least, I'm pretty sure they have a plane, unlike every other team in the AHL. I mean, we have people running into the Stars at Austin Airport all the time, you know, waiting for coach seats. Sounds like a drag, but... Not like I fly first class or anything, but just compared to the NHL, you know, and then get on a six-hour bus ride or something.
Some of these places.
It's
very much, it's a lot like that. Yeah, it's like you said with the, having Houston and San Antonio and Oklahoma City all together, and then you have Charlotte, which is nice. So I get to see former Rangers prospect Bobby Sanguinetti tear it up in the AHL.
For who?
Charlotte, actually. Yeah,
Charlotte.
Really?
Same thing with the Checkers. He had 50 points last year in 60 games.
With Connecticut? Or
Charlotte? Actually, they moved him to Charlotte, yeah.
Huh. Now, I remember talking last week, I was told that Jeff Skinner had gone to camp, but he hasn't, actually, has he? He's not with the team.
That's true. We're going to the archive, kids, where we're going to talk more about this and then the evil KHL. I kid you not. This is going to be fun. But, yep, we are now into the extra overtime, just to